at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The White House still assessing the details of the bipartisan border security deal. President Trump did speak out on it this afternoon at the White House. After huddling with his advisors, he says that it's got a lot that he likes, especially the possibility of averting another partial government shutdown, but he would eventually like to see more money. He's been asking for $5.7 billion. The deal that's been drawn up would allow about $1.4 billion to get work going on the wall. A big winter storm expected to dump up to 2 feet of snow in the high elevations of the Northeast today and tonight. New York City expected to get 2 to 4 inches of snow before it all changes over to sleet and rain. A jury in New York has returned a verdict of guilty for notorious drug kingpin Shorty El Chapo Guzman. He faced a host of charges tied to his alleged industrial-scale smuggling operation, complete with a string of grisly murders. This is SRN News.
There's a 50-50 chance of scattered thunderstorms today and a high of 81 degrees. The rain chance tonight is 60% and an overnight low of 53. Tomorrow, less rain, morning clouds, then afternoon sunshine. The high tomorrow will be 65 degrees.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. I'm Brad Sykes here with my good buddy Doug McCary, Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. Tuesday afternoon, Doug, how are you, brother?
Good. It was so nice just a minute ago, and then the rain came in, man. It was really nice out there. I was just thinking how nice it is. You know, it was just really like, it was springtime almost.
Well, I'm drying off, actually. Yeah. I've got paper towels. I'm literally drying off with the rain. But how's your day?
It was good. I was listening to some of the briefing and what Dr. Mueller was talking about, an article in the Wall Street Journal that has to do with identity politics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I bet there's probably listeners out there that really doesn't know what that means. You know, I mean, they don't know what he's really talking about, because I wasn't really sure at first, because, you know, we live in a time of sound bites and people use phrases like identity politics and stuff. And what he's talking about is when basically your politics are built around race, gender, or class.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with the issues, even social justice issues. It's, are you a particular race? Are you a particular gender? Are you a particular class? Or are you even of a particular sexual orientation? That is identity politics. Yep. And the point,
or even really reducing it down, as he says, to just one characteristic.
Yeah.
Now the in their opinion, an ideal candidate would be somebody who has maybe multiple of those identities.
Well, yeah. Well, he made the point that the Democratic field of candidates, which is going to be a lot larger than the Republican field, but the Democratic side, even though the Republican side does use some element of identity politics, the Democratic side has prided themselves on it a little more. And they were actually celebrating that there is only one heterosexual white male currently among their candidates. And they were making a big deal about that. And so, in other words, what they were saying is that it's more important, your demographic, than the quality of your character or the quality of even what you're standing for. You know, I mean, and listen, nobody's saying that, you know, I mean, I celebrate diversity. We, you know, this country was built on diversity, people coming together, but it was e pluribus unum, out of many, one. We come together. The problem has been somewhere along the line in the last 20 to 30 years, we've made it out of many, stay many, and we no longer coming to a melting pot, like what one guy says, we're a salad bowl now, and everybody does their own thing, and everybody's suspicious of one another, and instead of everybody pulling together in unity, we tend to divide. And that's the awesome message of Jesus Christ, is there is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no man, male or female. There is no, and what Paul is saying in that is, he's saying the most important quality of any person is the fact that they've been reborn as a believer, and it gets beyond race, it gets beyond gender, it gets beyond your social class. It means that the blood of Christ brings us together in unity. And of course, we don't live in a Christian country. I mean, we're not a theocracy, but we were founded on Judeo-Christian values. And, you know, I think as believers, when we hear about what's going on, it's okay for us to speak positively about the fact that we're all created in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And image is important, but the image of God is what's most important, the fact that we're created in His image. And so as we think about those things, especially as we go into elections, you know, people are going to be voting. This is coming up. I mean, you're going to see all these candidates and all this stuff happening. As believers, we need to remember that as believers, we're grounded in the New Testament and in Jesus, and the fact that He created us new. And we need to remember that not every human being is included in the new family of God. Mm-hmm. There's a requirement for that. And the requirement is that if you don't have saving faith, if you've not been redeemed in the blood of the Lamb, then you still have the image of God in creation, but that doesn't mean you're part of the family of God. Mm-hmm. And
you haven't been born again.
Yeah, and as believers, we don't know who those people are and who they're not. We don't. People can profess to be a believer and not be. And you can look at somebody like a Levi, who, you know, we're studying Matthew. People looked at Levi and the Pharisees were like, there's no way this guy can be a part of God's family. And Jesus said, yes, he is. And he called him to follow him. And he wrote that, you know, the first book in the New Testament, at least the book that goes by his name. And so I just think we need to remember that, because a lot of times as Christians, we want to reject the identity politics because it's just bad politics and it's really not good logic. But that's not the main reason we reject it. We reject it is because Jesus made it possible for everyone to come, but not everyone will. And then even those that come may come and not come on His terms. And we're going to study about that next week. In fact, this week at SWAT, we're going to be looking at the parable of the wedding feast, which will really bring that out.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was a great article. You know, he is so good at taking these articles and giving some different perspective on it from a biblical perspective. And
well, then the whole Virginia issue, I mean, what, as he called it, what a soap opera.
Oh, it's terrible.
And will the Democrats apply their zero tolerance policy? You know, they've said they've got zero tolerance for racism of any kind, zero tolerance for sexual abuse of any kind. Yet you got the top three people in Virginia.
Well, they've been put into a box because now they're really that they want to keep this guy in power up there because of his very pro-abortion stance, obviously by the comment he's made. That's the other thing. Here he is, a medical neurologist who's basically talking about keeping a child comforted until he's executed out of the womb. And that does not draw...
He's a pediatric neurologist
That does not draw the criticism above the other stuff. I'm not saying the other stuff is good,
right?
But he's talking about murder.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's awful. But anyway, you know, this thing about the Southern Baptist is still in the news, the sexual abuse. And there was another study that came out that said that 500 school teachers were arrested in the last couple of years on sexual abuse charges.
Just school teachers.
School teachers, yeah.
Where, around the country?
Yeah. And they said that 10% of the children in the 8th through the 11th grade. So the 8th graders are, what are they, like 10th graders are 15. So 11th graders would be 16. So you're talking about really about 13 to 16 or 12 to 16. Mm-hmm. 10% were found to have been subjected to some sort of sexual abuse by an adult at school, a teacher usually, or mm-hmm. a coach. Isn't that crazy? And so when you're reading about these things and you're seeing the world around us, a lot of times people can begin to wonder, how could God allow a pastor or a church leader or a teacher or somebody who's in authority like that to abuse a small child or a young child or even a teenage child? And we need to be reminded that God doesn't cause the suffering of innocent people.
Right.
He doesn't. He doesn't call. Isaiah says he's holy. He is holy and set apart. He is a good God. First Peter says he's sinless and he's perfectly just. And so James says he doesn't tempt anybody to evil. And, you know, a lot of people, a lot of people will take the freedom that God gives us within his permissive will and they will do harm with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's hunger in the world, not because God doesn't provide, but because man is stingy.
Yeah.
We've got food to feed people.
Yeah.
And, you know, so when we think about that, a lot of people say, well, I don't believe in God because if there was a God, he wouldn't allow this. Well, for him not to allow it, he'd have to wipe out all of mankind because we all deserve death.
Right.
And so, if he doesn't allow us to misuse that freedom sometimes, then we're not really free when you stop and think about it.
Right.
Because even if you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, back in chapter 30, where he says he sets before his people life and death, he mm-hmm. gives them the choice to choose blessing or curse, and he calls them to choose life, to follow him, but he gives us the freedom. And, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, it brought the fall. And the fall was like a big snowball that just kept going. And throughout history, we've seen not only human evil, but we see natural disasters. And all those things come as a result of that.
Well, and the reality is God, in his sovereignty, allows things to happen
mm-hmm.
so that his grace will shine all the more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his forgiveness will shine all the more. You know, Doug, I think it's interesting. While I do believe we are going farther and farther and farther into the darkness mm-hmm. in our world as we look around, the reality is a lot of what we're hearing and seeing on the news has probably been going on for a long time. But because of how we get our news, we're more exposed to it.
We get a lot more information today. That's absolutely true. And it typically focuses on the evil, on the bad,
sure.
on the things.
Sure.
And it evokes fear. And out of fear, people do certain things or they don't do certain things. And they, you know, they become angry. And it gives the enemy a foothold a lot of times to try to speak against God. One final thing, God redeems everything that he allows. We know from Romans 8, he will take whatever happens in our life and redeem it for his good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so we can trust in his character and his love. He didn't withhold even his own son.
That's right.
And again, at SWAT this week, we're going to look at that gracious gift. You know, I heard one of our friends who's a pastor say, if we'd have written the Old Testament, if we'd have been God, it'd have been about 2 pages long, because when Cain killed Abel, we would have wiped everybody out.
It'd been over. Yeah,
so. Been over.
Hey, glad you joined us today, SWAT Radio. If you have any questions for us, you can email us at ask@swatradio.com. We'll be right back.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
On Syros above the noise and confusion, just to get a glimpse beyond this illusion, I was soaring ever higher.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here this Tuesday afternoon. I think it's still raining out there, but yeah, Doug, you mentioned it feels a little bit like springtime out there. I don't know. I'm sure in the next day or two we'll have that rocked.
It's supposed to get cooler here over the weekend, and so be careful if you're driving out there. I don't know what it is when a little bit of rain hits the road. Not the heavy rain, but a little bit. It gets a little dicey out there. It gets greasy on the roads, and people follow a little close, especially going home.
Hey, I do want to mention, if you're listening, always want to give a plug, invite you to come and fellowship with us tomorrow morning at SWAT Bible Study out at the beach.
Woody's Barbecue.
Woody's Barbecue. It's 6:30 in the morning, Solana Road. That's in Ponte Vedra Beach, 6:30 a.m. tomorrow at lunch. Noon at the Salem Center on Bonneville Road, and that is where we are today.
Tomorrow's a Chick-fil-A day.
Yeah, that'll be noon to 1, and then tomorrow evening, Eastside Community Church on Beach Boulevard. Y'all get started at 6 or 6:30?
7. No, 7 o'clock. If you want to show up a little early, you can, but we start at 7 because guys get off work a little bit later, and so 7 o'clock.
And then Thursday morning, you have Jumpin' Jack's House of Foods on San Jose Boulevard. That's 6:30 Thursday morning.
Yeah, and then Friday morning down at the Village Inn in St. Augustine, 9 a.m. in the morning. And for you ladies that are listening, and ask your husband, say, hey, have you ever gone to a SWAT group?
Exactly.
Or encourage him to come check it out.
We're really not that bad.
No,
I mean,
we're not.
You may get an opinion of us on the air, but in reality, it's a great group of guys.
It is. It's 145 guys, Brad, spread around.
How many churches? 17?
17 different churches represented, but spread around in 5 different locations. And it's a good group, and guys are encouraged to be in the Word and really start hopefully understanding the application. You know, I just wanted to say, you know, when you look at the church situation in America, we have 95% of the people that have not really fulfilled their purpose of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And most people go to church on Sunday and feel like they do their religious duty, and they try to live a good life as a husband, as a father. But the bottom line is, if they're not producing fruit in their life, and fruit is simply not being nice, it's not having a Christian attitude. That is an element of it that gives validity to your witness.
Mm-hmm.
But you were brought into the kingdom to be a reproducer, not just in your family, but in your workplace, those you meet along the way. And at SWAT, you know, we're constantly waving that banner saying, hey, we're meeting together to be encouraged. So when we go out in the world, we are light in dark places.
Mm-hmm.
And because it doesn't do any good to be a light where there's already light.
That's right.
You want to be light out in dark places. And so our five core values are God's word is our starting point. Prayer, we stay close to the commander. Three is engaging witnesses for impact. And the key word there is to be a witness. And we witness every day to great restaurants we like, to things that we like that go on in our life that we're excited about. And is there anything that we should be more excited about than eternal life, Brad?
Not a single thing.
I mean, when you're the fact that God of all creation would allow his son to bleed, die, suffer, be tortured for us so that we could enjoy fellowship and have this privilege that we so squander.
And it's an eternal fellowship. It's not just a fellowship here. It's an eternal fellowship.
Yeah.
I mean, you talked about it as we went out of that last segment. We were talking about the sovereignty of God. Understanding, I think you quoted Romans 8:28.
Yeah.
God causes all things to work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
His purpose is in verse 29, that we would be conformed to the image of his son. If I had to describe SWAT, and we've got a caller who's going to describe or talk about SWAT, but the reality, if I were to describe SWAT, I would say it's a group of men coming around, fellowshipping around the truth of God's word so that we would be conformed into the image of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
What is the image of Christ? It's bearing fruit, not our fruit, his fruit. And we can bear his fruit because his spirit lives in us.
Yeah, and we stay connected to him.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not connected with him, there ain't going to be a whole lot of fruit bearing going on.
Yeah.
You can't do it apart from him, he says in John chapter 15.
Once you sever that branch, there's not going to be any fruit on that tree.
Yeah, or if you're weedy soil. Yep. If you've got weedy soil in your heart or thorny soil, or if you've got rocky soil. And so we talked about God's word being our starting point, prayer, staying close to our commander, engaging witnesses for impact. That's evangelism. And then discipleship is making his last command, which is what? Go make disciples,
mm-hmm.
teaching them to obey all that I've commanded, making that our first priority. And then finally, a band of brothers, community, a band of brothers that says, hey, Brad, you know what? Everything okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I just, something doesn't seem right with you today.
Yeah.
And just having that little conversation, somebody look into your eyes and see something that, hey, can I pray for you?
Yeah.
I mean, can you just speak to the value of that?
Wow. I mean, you and I talk about this a lot. I know I talk about it a lot. You know, the value of being in relationship, not just with a group of men, because we talk a lot about the fact that we got to drill down deeper.
Yeah.
You know, we have this surface level fellowship that we enjoy around the Word of God, and maybe it's at church, maybe it's a Sunday school class, maybe it's a small group, whatever, is that there's got to be you got to go even deeper, and you got to have men in your life, one, two, maybe three guys in your life that know everything about you.
Mm-hmm.
They know when something's not right. Hey, real quick, I want to invite Walt. Walt, are you out there, buddy?
Yeah, hi. How you doing, Brad? How you doing, Doug?
Doing great. Glad you called, brother.
Hey, Walt.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in. Y'all were talking about the meetings, and I wanted to encourage the other brothers out there that, you know, Doug doesn't bite, and, you know, the rest of the guys are all very encouraging. It's very uplifting. And, you know, I actually, I left, my spirit was full by the time I left there. I got to say, it was almost a little overwhelming. There was so much information there. It was good stuff.
Well, Walt, this is the Walt that, you came to Jumpin' Jacks, right? You came out to the
Jumpin' Jacks. Yeah. And I got to say the Jumpin' Jacks food was awesome.
Well, it was a pleasure meeting you, and I'm glad that you were able to be a part. Well, quick question, Walt. In your journey,
yes,
in your journey spiritually, how long you been following Christ?
For a while now. I would say at the very least the last 5-6 years.
Okay. So as a man who's out in the world, who's been following Christ for the last 5 or 6 years, you've been exposed probably to different things. And what would you say, you said you've been listening to SWAT radio for a while, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So a
couple weeks.
Yeah.
That's a while.
So what was it that moved you to come to a meeting from listening?
Well, I have to tell you, I something has occurred in my life that I realize the need for Christ in my life going forward. And, you know, I tried to run everything myself before, and I horribly failed. And the experience definitely taught me that to go without Christ is it's a no-winner. So I took on a new job recently and literally had kind of taken away a lot of the spiritual training, the feeding that I was getting from my church. You know, the work schedule just is not real compatible with that type of thing. So when I heard that you were having the SWAT meetings early in the morning, I thought, oh, that's perfect. You know, so, I mean, the hardest part is getting up that early, but, you know, you just, Lord, I'm getting up. Lord, I got to get there. You know, help me to get there, Lord. So that's why I decided to come.
Well, you know, it's when you there's this attitude, I think, that I hear a lot is that it's kind of a one and done with Christ. I mean, you know, it's a transaction, Brad and I talk about that. Okay, I'm a believer now. Okay, I'm in there. And you kind of want to coast, but there is no coasting. I mean, there you either are falling back or you're moving forward. You can't coast with him. And so I just was curious to know. I'm glad you came, Walt. I appreciate you calling in and appreciate you being a part. And hopefully we'll see you there this week.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there this week. Absolutely, yes.
Well, good. Well,
thanks, Walt.
Yeah, have a great day. Be careful out there on those roads, okay?
All right. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Brad.
Hey, you're welcome. Glad you tuned in.
Yeah.
You know, what? I think it's what Walt said. I mean, no question. hard to make this run in life apart from Christ. It literally, Doug, it burdens me. It saddens me when I see men out there
mm-hmm.
who are trying to make this thing work apart from Christ, apart from a relationship. And as you said, I mean, we do talk about it a lot, this idea that we're not talking about a transaction.
Mm-hmm.
There is a transaction, you know, but that transaction took place on a cross.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to walk out, you know, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. You know, I mean, I think that whole concept is missing in, you know, in our culture, this in the Christian culture, that you mean this is a race, this is an endurance effort.
Well, one of the things that I'm continually getting reinforced now that I don't feel like I had was this idea that the more I study the word, the more I'm impressed that it's much more about me really realizing who Jesus is. Even as a believer
mm-hmm.
and appreciating what he's done, than just getting what I call spiritual self-help principles
yeah.
to be a better husband, to be a better father. I believe those things will happen if you really begin understanding who he is and what he's done.
No doubt.
But I feel like a lot of our churches try to give people marriage seminars. We try yeah. to give, and then listen, there's nothing yeah. wrong yeah. with those yeah. principles.
Yeah. 3 steps to raising your kids. Three steps to a better marriage. 10 yeah. steps to this.
Yeah. And I just think the more you get in the word, the more you see the beauty of Christ, the more you see what he's offered and called us to, the more it makes you want to obey him.
Doug, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. I feel like what we need to spend a lot of time doing when we're making disciples is helping men see who Christ is.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more you know who Christ is and you see who he is, the more in awe, which is the more you will worship him. If I showed you a postcard of the Rocky Mountains, that's one thing. If I take you to the Rocky Mountains, totally different deal, right?
Yeah, it's like Red Square. You can see a postcard, but boy, when you're there, you're just like, wow.
Yeah, so I totally agree. I mean, yeah. I think more and more we want men to, it's not just an experience. It is an experience, but we want to see Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see Christ? In his word.
Yeah.
So, hey, Walt, thanks for calling. We're going to take a quick break. If you want to join us this afternoon, 904-401-1413. Outside Jacksonville, 1-844-777-7928. Join us, SWAT Radio.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump says he's not pleased with the border security compromise from Congress, but he does not anticipate another government shutdown. Here's White House correspondent Greg Cluxton.
A day after the bipartisan agreement was reached, the president was asked if he was happy with the compromise.
The answer is no, I'm not. I'm not happy.
He didn't say definitively if he would sign the deal, but did signal that the government is likely to remain open.
I don't think you're going to see a shutdown. I wouldn't want to go through it now. If you did have it, it's a Democrat's fault.
The president said the bottom line is the wall's getting built. Greg Clugston, the White House.
Meanwhile, the president says Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar's apology for insinuating that lobbyists were paying lawmakers to support Israel simply doesn't go far enough.
What she said is so deep-seated in her heart that her lame apology, and that's what it was lame, and she didn't mean a word of it, was just not appropriate. I think she should resign from Congress.
At a minimum, the president says Omar should step down from the House Foreign Affairs Committee. The Mexican drug lord, nicknamed El Chapo, has been convicted in federal court in New York. Correspondent Warren Levinson takes a look at the trial and the conviction.
The jury returned a verdict against the notorious drug lord Joaquin Guzman on its sixth day of deliberation. The drug trafficking charges could put the 61-year-old defendant in prison for life. He was accused of smuggling 200 tons of cocaine and of using torture and murder to cement his control of the Sinaloa drug cartel. He was famous for escaping from prisons in Mexico, and the trial was held under extraordinary security before an anonymous jury. El Chapo stared straight ahead as the jury verdict was read. Catching the eye of his wife in the gallery afterward, she gave him a subtle thumbs up. Warren Levinson, New York.
On Wall Street, about an hour from the close, the Dow is up 367 points. More from townhall.com.
Near the West Beltway, you're seeing some delays because of emergency vehicles on the 295 southbound ramp to Lem Turner Road. That off-ramp right lane is blocked. Also in St. Johns County, there's a disabled vehicle on I-95 southbound beyond County Road 210 and another accident on the West Beltway 295 northbound at Dunn Avenue. Partly cloudy with scattered showers through tonight, low 56. Wednesday becoming mostly sunny, high 65.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here this Tuesday afternoon. More than a feeling. You're going to follow Christ. It's definitely more than a feeling.
Yeah.
But good to hear from Walt there in that second break and second segment. If you want to call in, we'd love to hear from you. 904-401-1413. If you're outside Jacksonville, call us toll free at 1-844-777-7928. If you have any questions, comments, anything, we'd love to hear from you. You can send us an email at ask@swatradio.com. You can reach me at brad@swatradio.com, doug@swatradio.com. You can check us out on Facebook at SWAT Radio Talk, on Twitter at SWAT Radio Talk. I think we even have Instagram, don't we? SWAT Radio Talk?
Yes, we do, at SWAT Radio Talk. So, hey, we are in Matthew 21, Brad, 18 through 32, looking at our purpose of being a great influence for God, acknowledging his absolute authority in Jesus, and then turning from our selfish rebellion and self-righteousness to repentance and belief. And yesterday, we looked at the first part of this passage, which was the cursing of the fig tree. And if you remember, just a quick recap, we went to Zechariah chapter 11 and read verses 4 through 14, which was a prophecy of when really the judgment against the three shepherds. And the shepherds represented in the Old Testament the priests, the prophets, the scribes, the leaders of Israel, the shepherds who were supposed to be caring for them. And Jesus says, I will be the shepherd. But then they rejected him.
Mm-hmm.
And it also applies to the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees. And we saw when Jesus came in and cursed the fig tree, what he was doing was he was giving his disciples an object lesson that a fruitless tree is no future for the country. It's worthless. It's useless. So no fruit, we said, is no faith. No faith equals no future. And we actually looked at when Jesus quoted about the mountain, because the disciples saw the fig tree and they go, he says, yeah, if you, they said, wow, master, look, the fig tree withered. And he said, yeah, you can say to this mountain, go into the sea and will. And he was quoting, I think, alluding back to Zechariah 4, 6, and 7, where Zerubbabel was going to rebuild the temple with Ezra and Nehemiah. And they were facing opposition by Sanballat and others. And God spoke through the prophet Zechariah to say, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, you can say to this mountain, be flat. Oh, who are you, O mountain? And he's saying that the opposition against God's work is not any match for his spirit. So we don't have to do it in our own power and our own strength. We trust in him, and we will fulfill our purpose of being a great influence for him. And then he goes from the cursing of the fig tree, Matthew does, into this authority of Jesus' challenge. Now, this is on Wednesday. Looking at the timeline again, remember, he came into town riding on a donkey on Monday. That was the 10th day of Nisan in the year 33. It fulfilled not only the 173,880 days prophesied from Daniel 9, but it also fulfilled Zechariah 9:9, that he would ride on a donkey, that the Messiah would come riding a donkey. He came bringing terms of peace, and he came in on Monday, and then on he went after he reached the temple. The people were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, praise him. But they wanted to make him a popular king. That was not his desire. He withdrew, went back to Bethany, comes back on Tuesday. On his way in, he curses the fig tree, and then he cleanses the temple. He goes back to Bethany, and on Wednesday he comes back. The fig tree's withered. Mark tells us that chronology. Matthew just condenses it down because he's not as concerned with chronology. And then when he goes back on Wednesday to a cleansed temple, the Pharisees go, hey, who gave you permission to do that? Who gave you the authority to come in and turn over our tables? It took him a whole day to figure that out, to be able to question him, because I think he revealed his power and authority during that moment, so much so that nobody questioned him.
Yeah.
So he came back, and when he came back, they asked him, hey, who gave you the authority? By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? And Jesus said, hey, I'm going to ask you a question. You read it yesterday. It's in verse 24. It says, Jesus answered them, I will also ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? And it says, they discussed it among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, we're afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we did not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. So what happens here, Jesus puts them in a box, and they don't know if they answer him one way, the right way, then they have to admit their disobedience. And if they answer him the other way, they're afraid of the crowd, because they said the crowd holds to John as a prophet. So they were really put into a bind. And I think it's interesting that Matthew gives us their discussion. He gives us an insight into what's going on. But the principle in this passage is that God calls us to acknowledge the absolute authority of Jesus, and they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
They were quiet. They refused to answer. And, you know, sometimes your children, parents, if you've got children, whether they're teenagers or young kids, and you catch them doing something they should not be doing, you know exactly how the Pharisees felt, because you've witnessed it in your kids. When you ask them, what are you doing? And they say, I don't know. When they say, I don't know, and you know they know, they do not want to admit that what they were doing was wrong.
Right.
The Pharisees did not want to admit that they had rebelled against the authority of God in John the Baptist. And then the other thing is they didn't want to admit in front of the people that John wasn't a true prophet, because the people saw that in John. And so when they didn't answer Jesus, they said, "We don't know." He said, "Neither will I tell you." And what I see in that is that when you're silent to Jesus, when he gives you an opportunity to respond,
right,
he's going to be silent back. And you wonder why things are dark in your life. You wonder why things are bad. Listen, bad things happen to God's people. That's not the issue. But Brad, I think you would acknowledge that when you go through difficult times, there's times I think God allows us to feel silence from him to make us seek him more.
Absolutely.
But I've never felt alone with him in my life. Mm-hmm. I can honestly say I've never felt alone with him.
Don't you think that speaks to the idea, Doug, of confession and repentance? You know, this idea, it's not a one-time thing that you confess and repent. I'm saved, move on. I don't ever have to do that again.
Yeah.
When in the reality is, I think we are going to be in darkness, even as his believers, if we are unrepentant of sin in our life.
Yeah.
I think to me, it kind of screams at me of this idea that if you're unwilling to admit your sin, your rebellion, mm-hmm. then I'm going to hold back.
Yeah.
That's what he did here. He held back his truth from these Pharisees.
Well, he did withhold it. And that's what happens. If you reject him, mm-hmm. he rejects you.
Yeah. And how do we reject him?
Yeah. Well, but when he brings light into our life, we say, nope. We don't want that light. Yep. We yep. want darkness, yep. whatever it looks like.
Or I know this is the wrong thing to do, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing I was thinking about, Brad, is the Pharisees, we jump on the bandwagon against them pretty easy, but don't we do the same thing of rejecting his authority? We say, who gave you the authority, God, to turn the tables over in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Who gave you the authority to come into my temple the way I worship, the way I want to do it, the way I've commercialized your word, the way I've commercialized worship, the way I've made it superficial, the way I've created it the way I want it to be instead of the way you've wanted it to be? Who gave you that authority? Mm-hmm. And I think we say the same thing.
Absolutely.
And Jesus has already demonstrated, or Matthew's recorded his authority in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We see his teaching authority. They said, nobody's ever taught like this with authority.
Right.
Then in Matthew 8 and 9, we see the miracles where he had authority over sickness. He healed the leper. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. We see his authority over demons. When he cast the demons out of the two demoniacs, and they said, who has authority to do this mm-hmm. except God? When he told the man who was lame, he said, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees go, who gave you that authority to do that? And he goes, hey, so that I have that authority? Which is easier, to tell him to rise and walk or to tell him his sins are forgiven? Of course, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven because nobody can verify that.
Yeah.
But he said, so that that I have authority, take up your bed and walk. And he did.
And then he forgives him.
Yeah. And he said, your sins are forgiven. And so he had, and then he had authority even over death when he raised up Jairus' daughter and he raised her from the dead. And he has authority over death. And in John 10, he said, I have authority even over my own life. I have the authority to lay my life down. I have the authority to take my life up. And he has authority over even eternal life. John 17, 2 says he has authority to give eternal life to you and me. And John 5 says he has authority to judge. So all throughout the Gospels, we see his authority demonstrated. And the Pharisees, it's like the signs. He kept doing sign mm-hmm. after sign. They go, hey, show us another sign.
Yeah, exactly.
People had already authenticated his authority, but they didn't want to yield to it. And I think that's what the issue is for you and me. We know he has authority. We just don't want to yield to it.
Well, for our listeners out there, we'll kind of re-engage in this discussion when we come back. But if you want to join us, call us at 904-401-1413. You can call us also toll-free at 1-844-777-7928. Who has authority in your life? SWAT Radio. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com. You know our love was meant to be the kind of love to last forever. And I want you here with me from tonight until the end of time. You should know.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here Tuesday afternoon. Man, we got 15 more minutes left, Doug.
I know.
What happens to the time?
It just flies.
Hey, so I threw out this question. Who has authority in your life? Now, I'm assuming most of our listeners out there know Christ. They would say he's Lord and Savior. If he's Lord, then he has authority in your life. You know, that idea of he's Savior but not Lord, it's impossible.
We don't really like the idea of absolute authority.
Ooh, no.
No, see, no. I think...
In anything.
No, in anything. And I think we're fine to give Jesus partial authority in our life.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I just jotted down a little question. If he has total authority over your life, is there an area you have withheld from his authority? Hmm. Now, the reality is, listen, I may be holding a door, thinking I'm keeping the Lord out of that area. He can knock that door down.
Yeah.
And he will. So I think the reality is God wants us to surrender. He wants us to loosen the grip on the things that we're trying to kind of have rule over.
Mm-hmm.
He wants rule over all things, everything in your life.
Yeah.
And I think, Doug, I think it may have been a mutual friend of ours, pastor, who talked about that idea of total authority. And he used the analogy of, you guys ever experience any roaches during the summertime, spring and summer, you know, at your house? I think about, you know, I don't know, it gets damp outside or something. Those roaches, man, they fester around the kitchen area. And have you ever set off one of those bombs?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, they're not very effective if you don't open the cabinets in the kitchen.
Hmm.
In other words, you keep those cabinets closed, that bomb's not going to have a whole lot of success.
It's got to be open, man.
And the idea is the same, I think. It's a great picture or an illustration of how God wants to work in our life. Are there some cabinets shut in your heart that you are unwilling to open and let God's Spirit get in there and bring about conviction?
Well, here's the thing. God's authority through Jesus is just not the authority of Jesus to potentially rule us, but it's to actually rule us. There's a big difference. And I think that's what I'm saying about partial. We want to say, yeah, he's got the, if he makes it clear, if I see it in the sky, if I get a handwritten note, but we don't spend time really getting to know him through his word. The more you spend time in his word and time listening to him through his word and prayer, you begin to sense when he moves you to do something. In John 17, 2, it says, you've given him authority over all flesh. That would include you and me and everybody listening, right? To give eternal life to all whom you've given him. So he's authorized to act, not just to enjoy the right to act. Mm-hmm. In other words, he's not just sitting up there waiting. I mean, he's sitting up there ruling. He is already ruling. Mm-hmm. And there are times that he wants us to do things. And, you know, I shared, Brad, at lunch last week, there was an opportunity for me to share with a guy who he had prompted me to share with that I did not listen because I was too busy. I was too busy doing what I needed to do. I did not yield to his authority in that situation, even though not once, not twice, but at least three times that I can count that I sensed I needed to go speak to this person. And I found out last Wednesday that that person passed away. Hmm. And you know, that person's eternal destiny is not contingent upon my obedience.
Right.
But here's the thing. I should have obeyed. I did not. I had to repent because I was giving him potential authority, but only when I say, okay, I'll do it because now I've got time
right.
to do it.
Right.
So
well, I think that's a great thought, is that God will accomplish his purposes. Don't be confused in thinking that if I'm not obedient, God's not going to accomplish his sovereign purpose.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is he wants to work in and through you mm-hmm. for his glory. Not so that we can get a badge, or even though I do believe there are rewards, Bible talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
But what a cool opportunity that we have, that when we are prompted by God's Spirit to speak up or to engage or to stop or have a meal with somebody, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
we don't know what the outcome is, but we are to be obedient. You know, a lot of people argue about mission work. You know, well, if God's going to save, who's going to save? Why do we go to the mission field?
Mm-hmm.
We go because we get to co-labor with Christ.
And because he's commanded us,
well,
go,
absolutely.
Make disciples.
Absolutely.
It's not stay, it's go.
Yeah.
Wherever
yeah.
we go. The word is, as you are going, that's yep. what it actually
right.
means. And so, you know, when you really think about it, John Piper lists 10 what he calls biblical sightings of God's authority from Scripture. In other words, you want to know where his authority comes from? One, in John 1:3, it says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I mean, that's the first. If you want to know for the Pharisees what his authority is, that's
mm-hmm.
one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But also you see the extent of it in sustaining the world. It says he's the radiance over in Hebrews of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together, Colossians 1:17. Think about that, Brad. All the electrons in the universe maintain their path and their speed by the will of Jesus. I mean, one word and it could all change. And one day it will, when he brings judgment on the earth. But we also see the extent of his rule, not only in sustaining the natural world, but even how he governs. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet I know. Do I not know the hairs on your head? He is sovereign from the smallest bird falling to the hair on your head.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, even remember when the guy said, who then is this? When they were out in the boat, who is this that even the wind and the water obey him? So, I mean, I just think we forget about these things. We go through our day and we forget the extent of his authority, even over Satan when he cast out those demons, you know, and like I shared earlier, and even throughout history, John calls him in Revelation king over all kings.
Mm-hmm.
He says they will make war on the Lamb and the Lamb will conquer them, for he's Lord of lords, he's King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. I mean, he's king over everything. So you don't have to worry about the leader of Russia. You don't have to worry about the leader of China. You don't have to worry about the leader of other countries. He's king over all. And he goes on to say that he has also authority over all disease. Remember when Moses said, "Lord, I can't go. I can't even talk." And he says in Exodus 4, "Hey, who's made man's mouth? Yeah. Who made him mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" So he has authority over that.
I love this quote. I snapped a picture of it because I wanted to remember this. Charles Spurgeon said, I believe that every particle of dust that dances in the sunbeam does not move an atom more or less than God wishes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, let your mind just get around the concept that I was looking in the backyard today, and I don't know what your trees are doing. And of course, you're out toward the beach. You don't have near the trees.
Yeah, but I got a maple. It's blooming, man.
But there are more leaves falling down. Yeah. Do you realize that not one leaf has fallen out of that tree?
Yeah.
Apart from God's sovereign purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
And not only that, as that leaf makes its way down, how many times it spins and how it lands on the ground is God's design.
Well, let's take that and apply that to all the sexual assaults and the terrible things that are done. Do you know that his authority is even over that?
Yeah.
I think back to in Acts chapter 4 when I think Peter's preaching and he says, "You know, in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed Herod and Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place." God will allow sin. He doesn't cause it, but he allows it and will use it for his glory, because the most heinous act in the world was the crucifixion of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And that act was used to make it so beautiful that today people wear crucifixes, an instrument of death, around their neck. And we on their wrist.
It's great.
So,
hey, listen to this. J.I. Packard said, "People treat God's sovereignty as a matter of controversy, but in Scripture, it is a matter of worship." It's a matter of worship. And Doug, you're right. I mean, when you look at the background of the cross, you know, it's just, it makes grace that much more just beautiful. You know, when you look in the sky at night on a clear day, you look at the majesty of the stars. You would never be in awe of the stars if it weren't for the pitch black of the night, which in that picture is our sin, you know.
And he created all those.
Exactly.
He has authority. You know, you see his authority over conversion when the rich young ruler came up to him and asked him about how do you be saved, and he told him, and he didn't want it. And he is over that. You know, he says with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then he has authority even over death. You know, 1 Corinthians 15, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? And then finally, he has absolutely authority and power over the mission of the church, and it cannot fail. The gospel of the kingdom, he says in Matthew 24, will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then and only then will the end come. So he has authority in all of those instances. And the Pharisees, you know, they just didn't get it. You know, Isaiah, I'm going to close with this. "I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose." He is God. Jesus is God.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Way to preach it, Doug.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, does he have authority over your life?
Yeah.
He does.
He should.
Surrender.
Yeah.
Surrender. Hey, SWAT Radio, we'll be back tomorrow.
Yep.
Have a good one, Doug.
Hope to see you at SWAT.
Yep.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WA.